Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęs Stutis Deividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And, of course, live streaming audio over the internet at www.ktym.com. We'll be right back. Now, if you're pretty fluent in Lithuanian and you wondered why you couldn't understand one word of that last song, it's because it's Žemaitiškai, which is a very heavily accented dialect from the northern part of Lithuania. That's performed by a group known as Atalia, and it's a collection of Žemaitiškai-themed and Žemaitiški lyrics, folk rock music. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again for tuning in to Independent Lithuanian Radio, and this is sort of Independence Day weekend because tomorrow, the 16th of February, is the commemoration of the original independence declaration of Lithuania in 1918. From what was then Tsarist Russia, and actually the revolution had already occurred, but in effect Lithuania took that opportunity to declare independence in 1918, February 16th, and once again that'll be commemorated tomorrow at St. Casimir's Parish Hall. Now, you all know where St. Casimir's is. That's the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets in the Los Feliz Silver Lake area. And that's going to be tomorrow, commemoration of Lithuanian independence, tomorrow at 12:30 in the afternoon. And there'll be a special guest. His name is Professor Egidijus Aleksandravičius, and he wrote a book. And we'll be speaking about, well, for lack of a better term, of the Lithuanian diaspora throughout the world, and that Lithuanians have been immigrating and traveling throughout the world, leaving Lithuania, some coming back for hundreds of years, literally. So it should be very interesting. You know, it's not a new phenomenon, even though we complain about it a lot. He is in charge of the Lithuanian Diaspora Institute at Vytauto Didžiojo University in Kaunas. So once again, should be very interesting. And it is my understanding that since there's a lot of English-speaking guests and Latvians and Estonians and the like, that much of the program will be in English. So if your Lithuanian is weak, or you think that you go to this program and you won't understand anything, you're wrong. You should be pleasantly surprised, because most of the program, to the best of my knowledge, will be in English. Also, there'll be hors d'oeuvres and the like, so there'll be snacks, and you'll be comfortable, and it'll be a great way to commemorate Lithuanian Independence Day on February 16th, the actual day that the brave men signed that document back in 1918. And, I repeat this every year. I'm not going to get that into it right now, but, remember that practically everyone who signed that Declaration of Independence in Lithuania was, by the time World War II began and the Bolsheviks, as they were known then, the communists, came in, were either shot or deported to Siberia, and a few escaped to the West. So I don't know if they knew the risk they were taking when they were signing that, but those they paid a heavy price for declaring Lithuania independent. And now we'll just switch to our regular sort of programming where we remind you about the weather in Lithuania. I got off the phone with a friend of mine who lives in Panevėžys, and he says, yes, it's like spring already, you know, because some days are hitting the 40s. The Saturday today hit 39. Tomorrow a little cooler, 36, 37 degrees. But by Wednesday, a high of 43. Thursday, high of 42. So, you know, highs in the 40s, the snow begins to melt, and there's been very little of it. And except for, like, one really cold snap about, what, 7-8 weeks ago, it's been a very mild winter in Lithuania. Moving on with our community calendar, the big Blynų balius, or pancake ball, the annual pancake ball, will be held February 22nd, okay, that's next week. Starts early, 6 o'clock in the evening, and that's when the Lithuanian youth ensemble Spindulys will perform for you and everybody else that shows up. This event sells out. It's standing room only, so you should call Danguolė Varnas. Danguolė Varnas at 818-249-7574. I'll repeat that number in a minute, and get your pens and pencils ready. You know, it's sort of a Lithuanian Mardi Gras. It's all-you-can-eat food. So the Blynų balius, as it's known, potato pancakes, that's the sort of main course. And, of course, there'll be other food, too. So, once again, call Danguolė Varnas for reservations for next week, Saturday, the 22nd, okay, February 22nd at 6 o'clock in the evening. This will be the 52nd Blynų balius or pancake ball at St. Casimir's Parish Hall at 6 o'clock in the evening. Danguolė Varnas at 818-249-7574. And by the way, going back to tomorrow, the commemoration of Lithuanian independence, you don't need reservations or anything, okay? So just show up, have a good time, taste some hors d'oeuvres, meet some people, and enjoy the program. Moving on and out a little bit, okay, there the Lithuanian Golf Club. The Lithuanian Golf Club has been around for years, is going to have a fundraising golf tournament on Saturday, March 29th. And I'm going to leave it simple and tell you to call Vince Bernota at 395-1528. That's area code 310-395-1528. It'll be at the Red Hawk Golf Club in Temecula. It's ranked the 7th best public course in California, so it ought to be a really nice day. And you don't have to be a good golfer, and you can, and young and old alike, families, kids, and serious golfers too, of course. So call Vince Bernota and register to play golf in Temecula at the end of March, March 29th. Vince Bernota can be reached at 310-395-1528, and we appreciate their sponsorship of Independent Lithuanian Radio. Also, speaking of sponsorship, I want to sort of shout out and thank all the people who wished me a happy birthday last week, and especially Dina Dotorek Gudauskas, who listens via the internet because she lives out of state. Dina, I hope you're listening today. Thank you so much for your donation to Independent Lithuanian Radio. So have you been watching the Olympics? I've put in as much time as I can watching it, and we need to congratulate Latvia because it won its first medal at the Sochi Winter Olympics. It won a bronze in doubles on the 12th. Latvians are obviously very proud. The pair have been congratulated by Latvian officials back home. Prime Minister Laimdota Straujuma said the win would cause Latvia's name to echo across the world. We will hear more about Latvia from Sochi, said the Prime Minister. And on top of that, Latvia's most popular pop rock band called Brainstorm performed at the Olympics that evening. They performed on the main stage, and the band was not even, you know, officially brought there by Latvia. It was the Russians who invited this band, because apparently the band known as Brainstorm or Prata Vetra is very well known and very popular throughout Russia. The Olympic Village also has a Latvian house where Latvian entrepreneurs, artists, and athletes present themselves. So anyway, we want to congratulate the Latvians on their win of a bronze in the luge, the men's double luge event. But the human interest story is about Lithuania. Lithuania has a couple of ice dancers that will perform on the 19th. That's next week, okay? And one of them is an American-born skater, and there's a lot of drama in this. American-born skater will compete at the Sochi Olympics for Lithuania. The flights from New York to Sochi won't come close to comparing with the journey Isabella Tobias already has taken to earn an Olympic berth. Born and raised in New York, Tobias has teamed with Lithuanian ice dancer Davidas Stagniūnas since 2010. As they moved up through the world ranks, they focused on qualifying for the 2014 Olympics. After finishing 15th at the World Championships in March last year, the spot was theirs, except for one catch. The Lithuanian government would not grant Tobias citizenship, and without it, she and Stagniūnas could not compete on the Olympic ice. IOC rules, unlike those used by the ISU to govern figure skating, require that all competitors have citizenship in the country they represent. And Lithuania, despite having no other world-class ice dancers, already had turned down Tobias before the couple competed at Worlds. Quote, I went to Lithuania in the winter of 2012 and was interviewed by the Immigration Council, and I cried my eyes out to them, begging them to give me citizenship, the 22-year-old Tobias said. I learned the language, and it's a very difficult language. And they sat me down with a Lithuanian teacher and asked me about 60 questions in Lithuanian. I was not allowed to speak any English at all. I never felt so terrified in my life. I actually passed that exam, and we left and were hoping for the best. They got the worst instead. She was denied citizenship on January 7, 2013, because the government said it could not be awarded based on future merits, such as possibly earning an Olympic medal. Already reeling from previous injuries to Stagniūnas, then his mother's death from breast cancer and the death of Isabel's grandfather, they debated whether to pursue their Olympic goal. Should they even bother going to last year's world event? Davidas and I, she said, had to meet and really talk it out. Do we feel we have it in us to keep skating without anger and resentment and not let this defeat us? We just decided, what do you want to be as an athlete? Well, the answer was a champion. An athlete and a champion never let anything defeat them. Let's just show them they are wrong and that they should want us on their Olympic team. Let's prove we deserve to go to the Olympics by qualifying, which they did in March. But still, no action from Lithuania, which has a strong sporting history in basketball, but not much else. Certainly not from the Winter Games. Tobias and Stagniūnas went back to full-time training in Michigan and renewed ice dance with renowned ice dance coach Igor Schickbend, who encouraged them to keep it up. But the season began poorly with a weak performance at Skate America. Tobias said she was depressed by the lack of movement towards her citizenship, for which she once again had applied. There was an Olympic spot for them, and there was no other Lithuanian female ice dancer, said Isabella's mother. On December 2nd, Tobias woke up to find her cell phone loaded with text messages of congratulations. She called Maddie, waking her up, asking her mother to check Lithuanian news websites. Sure enough, Lithuanian president herself, Dalia Grybauskaitė, had announced that Tobias was granted citizenship, citing the skater's diligence in pursuing it and the, quote, exceptional merit of having earned an Olympic berth. No mention was made of her learning the language, not making several trips to the country for interviews that were more like interrogations. Tobias called Stagnunas, who apparently didn't quite get the message or the significance of the news. I yelled, "We did it, we did it." He said, "Okay, that's great. I'm going back to sleep, and I'll see you later to train at the rink." It took a long time for him, for the news to dawn on him. Stagnunas couldn't hide his excitement later, praising the couple for their perseverance. Now it's on to Sochi. "We're so thankful and grateful," Tobias said. "It was such a shock. We were so used to being disappointed, so used to being the only ones that couldn't go because of this situation of citizenship. This was somebody making the decision about you. It should be, if you qualified for the Olympics, you should go to the Olympics. It is sports. It has nothing to do with your passport." Anyway, you'll be able to see them both on the 19th, and a lot of people expect them to make a great showing. We'll be right back. Another excerpt from a folk rock tune by Atalia, Katu Pavirstum Drebulele. Drebulele, I guess loosely translated, would be like an aspen, you know, like a quaking aspen, you know, the leaves, they sort of shudder, and the words, the lyrics say, I wish you would turn into a aspen, and that you would be washed by the rain and cleansed. And so on and so forth. Anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful little old folk song, you know, performed in a folk rock tradition. Hope you enjoyed it. You know, without getting too political about the whole thing, there's always been rumors and talk about Lithuanian President Grybauskaitė, Dalia Grybauskaitė, maybe communist sympathies. She went to school in Moscow. At the very least, taking advantage of being involved with the Communist Party, you know, pre-independence. And there are a few people who have given her a hard time about that. Anyway, she's announced that she will run for president again of Lithuania. If anything, I think you'd all admit she's a great bureaucrat. But anyway, Lithuanian president, here's the headline, denies collaboration with Borukavičius communists. Currently seeking re-election, Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė has turned to social networks to explain certain facts about her biography. She denies having collaborated with the Lithuanian Communist Party, led by Mykolas Borukavičius, and also said her father never served as a sergeant of the NKVD, a Soviet repressive structure. "Since announcing my decision to seek re-election, I have received not only support, but also questions related to my biography. Therefore, once again, I will try to give answers to those who are listening to the lies being spread about me," said Grybauskaitė's official Facebook profile. The president states that she did not collaborate with the Burakovich's party after March 11th, 1990. Note that that's what she's saying. She did not collaborate with the party after March 11th, which was the reinstitution of independence in Lithuania, as she had joined the split-off Lithuanian Communist Party led by Algirdas Brazauskas in December 1989. And received a temporary membership certificate. And in June 1990, I decided to stop my participation in any party activity. So basically, for about a year, she was officially on paper a member of the Lithuanian Communist Party that was led by Brazauskas, who later became president of Lithuania, by the way. For the last 23 years, I haven't been a member of any party, she continued, answering her own question as to why she kept working at a higher party school after Lithuania declared independence on March 11th, 1990, rather the reinstatement of independence. The head of state said she was on holiday for some time and left the school in June of 1990. Quote, under a cabinet decree of March 11, 1990, the higher party school was handed over to the Vilnius Pedagogical Institute. But after the Russian army divisions occupied the premises on the 25th of March, I went on vacation and started looking for a new job. In June 1990, I finally left this establishment and started working for the Economy Institute of the Lithuanian Economy Ministry in August, Grybauskaitė explained. The Lithuanian president also said that she had received confirmation from the Genocide and Resistance Research Center of Lithuania that her father, Polikarpas Grybauskas, never was a Soviet NKVD sergeant and worked as a firefighter from the age of 17. According to Grybauskaitė's official biography, in 1983 she graduated with a degree in political economy from the then Leningrad University. In 1983, she worked as scientific secretary at the society known as Zinnia under the Academy of Sciences. She was also the head of the agriculture division at Vilnius High Party School from 83 to 84 and later from 85 to 90, a lecturer at the Department of Political Economy. In 1988, she defended her thesis at Moscow Academy of Public Sciences and received a doctoral degree in economics. From August 90 till 1991, she was scientific secretary at the Lithuanian Institute of Economy under the Ministry of Economy of the Republic of Lithuania. So anyway, you can see where the rumors or the stories may have arisen, because she spent quite a bit of time outside of Lithuania, going to school in Moscow and Leningrad and the like. But anyway, that she now has come out with an official denial. When she was first elected, I talked a little bit about this background and about these let's call them, circulating rumors about her association with the Communist Party. But in effect, it appears that she used the party to advance her career. And once again, I will admit that she is an excellent bureaucrat. Now, those of you who have explored downtown Vilnius, and I mean more not Old Town, but Gedimino Prospektas and the area around the parliament, will have walked by Lukiškės Square or Lukiškės Aikštė or Lukiškės Park. That's the park, the square, where Lenin's statue once stood and was torn down after Lithuania was officially recognized by most of the rest of the world as a free country in the fall of 1991. I was fortunate enough to land in Lithuania the day that happened. I actually landed then in Riga, and I've told the story a million times, so I won't bore you with it again. But by the next morning, I was in Vilnius, and I helped finish off that statue of Lenin. I still have pieces of the pedestal that Lenin stood on, that I broke off myself with a sledgehammer that I borrowed from a local Lithuanian who was still a little nervous about going out in the square and whacking on the pedestal that Lenin once stood. But anyway, it's kind of been neglected since then. There's no statue replacing it. As a matter of fact, last year I was there, there was a sand sculpture, a sand statue of John Lennon there, which was pretty cool, but it was very temporary. Anyway, Lithuania's former Minister of Foreign Affairs, Audronius Ažubalis, representing the opposition Homeland Union Lithuanian Christian Democrats, suggests adopting a law on Lukiškė Square for it to become the main representational square of the state of Lithuania. Under the bill, the cabinet would be in charge of its maintenance. Registered by Ažubalis, the bill states that, quote, so far the memorial status of Lukiškė Square has not been properly appreciated, and the existing condition of the square does not reflect its historic and urbanistic importance. The proposal on the status of the main square states that, quote, it is formed with memorial features of freedom fighters. Lukiškė Square in Vilnius, as a historically formed united urbanistic space, has to carry out a state representational function, the memorial function to honor Lithuanian freedom fighters, as well as the public, cultural, and recreational function that it provides. The solutions must compromise all these functions, the bill reads. The proposal also states that the memorial features of Lukiškė Square should include and reflect fights for Lithuania's freedom and the commemoration of the killed fighters, those that gave their life, the location of execution of rebels in 1863 and 1864, and the commemoration of their memory. Lukiškė Square was formed in the early 20th century. In 1953, a monument, that statue to the Bolshevik leader Lenin, was erected in the square and subsequently demolished in the fall of 1991. Since then, the square has not really been well maintained. Well, we've pretty much run out of time here at Independent Lithuanian Radio, so I have a little short story that's kind of fun. You all heard about medical tourism. Well, it turns out that Vilnius's old town surprised researchers with how affordable its accommodation was, and as a result, ClinicSearch.com, that's ClinicSearch.com, has rated Lithuania as the best value destination this year for dental treatment in Europe. In research of 15 countries that were compared for ease of travel, affordability of accommodations, and price of dental treatment, Lithuania came out number one, ahead of Turkey, Poland, Hungary, and Latvia, which are in the top five. Norwegians and Danes have been investing in Lithuania for years and have been taking advantage of the affordable dental treatment prices. Dental procedures from crowns to root canals can cost 40 to 60% less than in Western countries. For example, said Dr. Jeva de Stridat, Norway is very close. People can hop on a plane in the morning, get treatment, and go back that night to their own beds. This is Kestutis Eivydas for Independent Lithuanian Radio, reminding you that if you have bad teeth, Lithuania, Vilnius especially, is the place to go. Once again, Kestutis Eivydas at KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Thanks for tuning in, and maybe we'll see you tomorrow at St. Kazimierz to commemorate the original independence of Lithuania, February 16th. Bye-bye.